Now, Michael Johnson, as we know and we've spoken about this morning, put forward his resignation this week as the Upper Hunter MP, leaving the seat empty. It's triggered a by-election, and someone familiar with those is Deputy Premier John Barilaro, who joins me on the line. John, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, and look, the weather's great, so feeling good.
Fantastic. Now, first of all, we'll start with Michael Johnson. He responded to your calls for him to resign, obviously a decision that you'd be happy with.
Well, look, you know, I acted promptly last week when there was those very serious allegations, and I won't say much around that because that's a live investigation, and that'll have to be answered to by Michael and all those involved. But what we then saw play out this week was some standards that I don't think anyone accepts from their local member or member of parliament. And it was clear to me that Michael had to step aside, not only from the National Party and his parliamentary roles, but also as the member for Upper Hunter in the parliament. And I made the tough decision to call on him to do that. And it was the right decision, regardless that it does put us in minority government and regardless that it means a by-election. I want to do the right thing by the people of Upper Hunter. And that's why I made that decision.
Yeah. How did it make you feel? As you said, it was a tough decision. How did you feel that an MP who you had a good working relationship with, so far as I could tell, whenever you visited the Upper Hunter electorate, had been accused of raping a woman, and then all of the allegations out of the ABC that were revealed this week? Was it a shock?
Well, look, you know, I'm not going to judge him on the allegations and the accusations, as that is a live investigation, and that'll be played out at some point in the future. But in relation to his behaviour from texting, from question time, inviting a particular woman to the parliament, I think that's not the standard anyone accepts, regardless you're a member of parliament or in any senior role. And that shocked me, absolutely shocked me. And that's why I had no choice but to come out hard and early and ask Michael to step down and resign from parliament. And, that's still the right thing. And regardless that we're in a by-election, regardless that we may lose the seat, I know I can live with my conscience that I did the right thing by the people of Upper Hunter and the people of New South Wales.
Yeah. So we have a by-election now. How quickly are we going to see that play out in the Upper Hunter?
I think everybody wants this resolved. It's best we get a new member representing that community as soon as possible in the parliament. The Electoral Commission will have to make its own decision, but I expect a by-election in the next couple of months. That means that we will be judged as a government. Will we judge as a party? And as I said in my statement yesterday, I apologise to the people of Upper Hunter for what has occurred and, what's the by-election ahead of us. But, I hope they can judge me on my integrity and what I did over this period and see, of course, what we have always worked very, very hard for the people of Upper Hunter, and they may still give us a chance.
Mm. The obvious question, John, do you have a candidate in mind?
We've got a democratic process. We've already been inundated by four or five individuals that are seeking to run in a pre-selection. The National Party will open pre-selection nominations now, and that there's a formal process. But we are a democratic party. The grassroots members will decide at a pre-selection, and that'll happen hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So the more the merrier. And I encourage people, if you're interested in serving your community, there's nothing greater than politics. And you believe the National Party is the right party to represent your values and the values of the Upper Hunter, then definitely reach out and we'll assist you through the process.
Mm. Catching up with New South Wales Deputy Premier John Barilaro this morning. And at the end of the day, hopefully the right candidate is chosen through that democratic process that has to happen. I mean, the seat has been held by the Nationals for such a long time now. It almost, for yourself, it would be sad to see it go to someone else.
Yeah, look, it's not about just the Nationals. You know, I just want someone that is passionate about the Upper Hunter, someone that's got a track record of delivery for the Upper Hunter, someone that, bleeds the Upper Hunter and understands the issues. And, if we can get that sort of candidate, we're not going to bring someone from outside in. We're not going to do anything like that. We want a genuine local champion who's been part of that community. And if I can convince someone like that to be the candidate for the National Party and the candidate goes into a by-election, then that would mean that if they get up, they will represent the community in the best way. And that's all I'm interested in. It's just representing the Upper Hunter as we've done for decades, and delivering. And we're halfway through this term. We've got projects on the run. No point changing the jockey mid-race. I believe the Nats are still a party that represents the values of the Upper Hunter, and that's what I'll be campaigning on.
Yeah. And I also want to mention, too, the Scone TAFE Canberra. Of course, the government confirmed that Racing New South Wales was a successful purchaser for $4 million. We had the opposition leader in town yesterday attending a round table and then a forum last night, pretty determined that somehow Labor could get the decision reversed. It's a done deal now.
Oh, it is a done deal. But this isn't a political football to be used, you know, because it brings anxiety to people to pretend that somehow this is a detrimental decision. The Scone asset was one that was seen as an opportunity for further investment. And Racing New South Wales has got already a presence in the Upper Hunter, having the ability to invest now in that Scone campus and turn it into an education facility around equine. And there's other opportunities off the back of that, even for TAFE. And the money that we've received from Racing New South Wales will now be invested back into other TAFE facilities like at Scone, like in Muswellbrook and across the Hunter. It just means greater opportunities for our young people. And this debate about are we privatising TAFE, is this about job cuts? It's not. This is actually about further investment and utilising assets that are probably not being utilised to its full potential. And look, this is going to be an issue in this by-election, but I won't allow it to become a political football and a scare campaign. I'm confident the plans we have for Scone, the old Scone TAFE, along with the partnership with Racing New South Wales, will mean more opportunities for everybody.
Mm. I don't think Labor is going to let it go anytime soon. Now it's, you know, the $4 million Labor wants to see kept in Scone rather than going out to Belmont, to Newcastle, even though some of it is staying in Scone and some of it's even staying in Muswellbrook as well.
Well, some of it is staying in Scone and some's going to Muswellbrook, but then there's another additional investment that already in the Connected Learning Centre at Scone. So, you know, that's money that's come out of the TAFE budget from somewhere else as well. So if you actually tally up the investment in Scone, you'll see clearly it'll be far more than what we're just investing in this round off the back of the Scone sale. As I said, you know, I'm always open to listening and working with the community. This is a campaign driven by the Teachers Federation. We just don't accept that there is an opportunity to change the way we deliver training and be in partnership. And TAFE is a big part of it. And look at the investment we've put in TAFE in our time. And this is just the renewal so that TAFE can be around for another 125 years as the great operator, public deliverer of vocational training.
Yeah, exactly. Well, John, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate you joining us on the show.
Absolutely, thank you. And I'm sure we'll be speaking a lot more over the next couple of months.